one day.
Good morning. I am Pastor Carl Yard, and I welcome you this morning to the Because He Lives broadcast. I trust that you would have had an amazing time throughout the Easter season as you would have celebrated the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I welcome you this morning to the Because He Lives broadcast, which was brought to you with our kind sponsors, the Church of the Nazarene and Federal Motor Spears. It is an honor and a privilege to share with you this morning. But before we dive completely into the Word of God, I just want to share this special invitation with you about our Nazarene Day, which is going to be held tomorrow on the 28th of April, beginning at 9:30. It promises to be an amazing day, and all are invited. Nazarenes are encouraged to come out in their zonal colors, as there will be a parade of zonal teams. So we want everyone to have a great contingent there as it relates to the zonal team parade. There's going to be worship ministry, a health and wellness clinic where you're going to have your health checks done, a business exposition. There are also going to be sports line dances. The day promises to be an amazing day, and I look forward to seeing all of you there at Nazarene Day 2025. So come on now, I know it's not just for Nazarenes, but also all of our friends, you are invited to come on now. It's going to be at the King George Memorial Park, and we encourage you and we invite you to come on now as we have an amazing day. Amen. So now we are going to have a word of prayer before we go into the scripture. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for who you are, for all that you've done for us. God, time and time again, you prove yourself to us, and we thank you, oh God, because you are all that you proclaim to be. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to take a look at an encounter that a young man would have had with Jesus. And we can find that particular encounter in the book of St. Mark and chapter 10. And we're going to be reading from verse 17. And it reads, "As Jesus started out on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' 'Teacher,' he declared, 'all these I have kept since I was a boy.' Jesus looked at him and loved him. 'One thing you lack,' he said. 'Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me.' At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, 'How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?' The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, 'Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.' The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With this man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.' Then Peter spoke up, 'We have left everything to follow you.' 'Truly I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is an interesting encounter that a young man had with Jesus here. And it suggests to me, when I observe this encounter that was had here, while Jesus was teaching his disciples, he had a moment to teach his disciples, it seems to me that not all encounters that are had with Jesus have happy endings. Well, they all have the promise of a happy ending if we respond in the way that we ought to. Not all of them have happy endings, but our response determines the type of ending that an encounter with Jesus can have. Sometimes Jesus requires more of us than we are willing to give. And I want to ask the question this morning, what is it that God requires of you that is more than you are willing to give? For this young man here in the book of Mark this morning, it was his possessions, what he had. What he had deemed to be too much for him to give, that it cost him a happy ending, so to speak, encounter with Christ. Some encounters require more of us than we are willing to give. Is there something that you are not willing to give up for God? What is it that you are holding on to this morning that will cause you to walk away from the presence of God feeling sad? Because we see that this young man walk away from the presence of God feeling sad when he recognized what it was that he had to give up. And the question is, what is it that you are holding on to this morning that can cause you to walk away from the presence of God sad this morning? The first point I would like to make, even as we observe from verse 20 through to 22, is that sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. I want you to let that sink in. This man held on to his riches, and it caused this man to walk away from Jesus sad. The requirement that Jesus had of him, he was not willing to do. What requirement does Jesus have of you that feels so impossible to give up? I remember I came across a photo of a hand, and that hand was hanging on to a rope, and the rope was being pulled, and when the person finally let go of the rope, their hand was bleeding, and it had all type of different scars on it. And on that photo, it said, sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. How sad is it when the one thing that you sought after, you now say you don't want based on your actions? The reality is that this man is the one who approached Jesus, asking Jesus the question, what is it that I must do to inherit eternal life? He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Know that Jesus would have given him the requirements that he could get his request fulfilled. It seemed to be too great for him to accomplish. How many times we do the same thing? When we say, Lord, all I want is for you to be glorified in my life. In my life, Lord, be glorified. I surrender all. I give everything to you, withholding nothing. But when we get outside of the church environment, is God being glorified in our lives? The fact of God being glorified in our lives seems to be too much of a huge task for us. If someone were to hear the words that would be coming out of our mouths, when you are not in the environment where you are seeing God be glorified, they will be surprised. Isn't it the same thing that this rich young ruler did? Request something of God, but when he got the requirements of his request, he walked away from the presence of God sad. I dare say to us saints, sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. It does more damage than letting go. You know, it's interesting because many times we ask questions that we don't really want the answer to. And the reality is that this young man is the person that came to Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life. But when he got the answer to his question, he wasn't too keen on the response that Jesus gave to him. He was not expecting the answer that Jesus gave him. Sometimes we ask questions that we really don't want the answer to. Just like this rich young ruler here, he asked good teacher a question. He asked Jesus a question. And when Jesus gave him the answer, he didn't want the answer. Since I want to encourage us, sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. Sometimes all we need to do is let go. You know, it may sound cliche, but let go and let God. Which brings me to my next point. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Sometimes we try to do things ourselves. And when we do that, we fail. The reality is, one of the things I always used to ask is, Lord, I want to be able to trust you with the minor details in my life. I dare say that if this rich young ruler had surrendered himself to God, this encounter could have ended a lot different. This encounter could have had a different ending if he had just surrendered to what it was that Jesus had told him to do. You know, there are times when we believe, oh, man, I'm going in the church. I got to fix myself first before I could go in church or before I could give my life to God. Sometimes you know the right thing, but you telling yourself you got to fix yourself first. The reality is God is there just saying, come. God can do it. God didn't expect you to do it. Once you surrender your life to God, he gives you the power in the person of his Holy Spirit who is with you, journeying with you to be able to do whatever it is that he requires of you. I remember my pastor always used to say, if God has brought you to it, then he is able to take you through it. If this rich young ruler had surrendered himself to God, this encounter could have ended differently for him. You know what's interesting to me? If you look at the way how the scripture is read, it doesn't look as though he gave Jesus' request much consideration. Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and Jesus loved him. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. He said, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. This is what the teacher requested of him. And it said, at this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. The consideration of the request that Jesus would have given him was not even taken. It's okay to acknowledge in times when we are weak. It's okay to acknowledge and to say, Lord, but I got a lot and I feel like if I'm holding on to all of these things so much and place it in God's hand and allow God to journey with you and help you to really and truly surrender it. But I don't get the impression from reading the scripture that he gave Jesus' request much consideration. It's just that he recognized all that he had. He hold down his head and he walk away from the presence of God's side. Allowing God to do what is impossible in your own strength is totally surrendering. Recognizing that I cannot do it on my own is called total surrender. And there are many times that there are things that might be required of us. And we just got to totally surrender and say, Lord, I don't know how I can get it done, but I want to do it for you simply because this is what you request. This is what you require of me. And the truth is, many times the things that we hold on to so dearly ain't even worth it. The things that we hold on to so dearly sometimes are not even worth it. You know, we like instantaneous results. So we like, I do something, bam. And we become so instantaneous in our society where we could buy a meal and we could pop it in the microwave and in 2 minutes you got a full meal. Don't talk about the internet. You got everything at the tip of your fingers. You just type in a question and boom, Google bring it up for you. Google search engine. And we become so instantaneous that even in our walk with Christ, we want instantaneous results. But sometimes there are things that you go journey through. There are things that you go walk through. It may not happen so instantaneously. In most instances, it's a reflective process that is guided by God through the person of His Holy Spirit at work in our lives, working it through for us to get to where He wants us to be. And all it requires of us is totally surrendering. What is impossible with man is possible with God, man. And I want to make my final point. Don't be caught holding on to something that you should let go. Jesus speaks of being rewarded for the sacrifice made of following Christ in total surrender. You'll be rewarded in this present age, and you'll also be rewarded in the age to come. Speaking of eternal life. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be given." Jesus was saying to His disciples, "Listen, whoever it is that made this level of sacrifice for me, listen, they will be rewarded." And many people look at this scripture and believe it speaks to, you know, wealthy people not being able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I dare say that that's not it. What is it that you are holding on to that you should let go? Don't be caught holding on to something that you should let go. I came across a story a couple years back, and it says that hunters have found a new way to catch a monkey. And what the hunter does is that the hunter digs a hole in the side of the cliff or in the side of the rock. And that hole is big enough for the monkey's hand while it's open to pass through. But when the monkey closes its fist, it cannot come back out. It cannot pass through with a closed fist. So the hunter digs the hole big enough for the monkey's open hand to pass through. But when the fist is clasped and closed, it cannot pass through. So the hunter digs the hole and put some food inside of the rock for the monkey. And the hunter is in the distance waiting for when the monkey goes and grabs hold of whatever it is that is placed inside there as bait for him. And the monkey walks up and the monkey pushes his hand inside of the rock and clasps his fist, because what is it that is inside of there is so tempting. It seems as though it's such a great reward and he wants it so bad and so dearly. And the monkey holds on to it. But when the monkey closes its hand and closes its fist and tries to pull back out, the monkey cannot get its fist out. And the hunter walks in and the hunter crouches in on the monkey to capture the monkey. And the monkey's there fighting for dear life and shaking and fighting and cannot be released. But all the monkey has to do is let go of what is inside of that rock, and then he could go free. All the monkey has to do is let it go. But the monkey decides to hold on passionately. And he's pulling and he's tugging and he's pulling and he's tugging. And he cannot be released because of whatever it is that he's holding on to so tight. And many of us in our minds are thinking about it. And we are saying, monkey, just let go. But how many times we find ourselves in the position just like this very monkey, where the very thing that we are holding on to, we could be holding on to death. But we are still holding on when all we have to do is to let it go. Sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. Don't be caught holding on to something that you should let go. This is the word for this morning. Whatever it is that you have in your life that Christ is saying to you, listen, my child, I just want you to let that go. My encouragement for you this morning is to let it go. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is for you. For this young man, it was his possessions. It was his riches. It was what he had. And he walked away from the presence of Jesus sad, simply because he did not want to let go. What I'm saying to us this morning is, don't be found in the position like this rich young ruler, holding on to something that you ought to let go, and walking away from the presence of God, son. Whatever it is that you need to let go, I want to encourage you this morning to let it go. Let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise, oh God. Father God, you've been speaking to us about things in our lives that we ought to let go. For this rich young ruler this morning, oh God, it was his possessions. It was what he had. And Father God, you gave him an instruction. But Father God, he held his head. And his face fell and he walked away from your presence, God. We do not want this to be our reality this morning, Father God, but we want to do as you instruct us to. Father God, we want to do what you say to us to do. Help us, oh Father God, to surrender our lives and our hearts totally to you, withholding nothing. God, we thank you, oh God, for the person of your Holy Spirit that you have given us, oh Father God, upon coming to you when we first came to you, that the Holy Spirit guides us, teaches us, and helps us. Father God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for being God with us and helping us, Father God. We recognize that with you, all things are possible. What may seem as impossible for man is possible with you. And we do not want to cause more damage than we ought to. But help us to let go of the things that we ought to let go of. We give you thanks and we give you praise for empowering us in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I surrender to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Come on, you say. I surrender.
withholding nothing, withholding.